everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 234, and today we're going to cover part 3 of lease options versus owner financing. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. If you're not part of the community, just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook and ask to join. There will be a live session on the second Thursday of every month, so bring your questions. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can ask your questions in the comments below. Lastly, we want to thank you for subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with your friends.
All right, everyone, let's continue on with our part 3 of lease options versus owner finance. And let me share my screen. All right. So part 3. All right. So the quick review. So we went through and we talked about advantages and disadvantages for pretty much every aspect of the two different possibilities. And we've talked about some of the benefits, but let's dive a little deeper and figure out, is one strategy better than the other? And I would tell you, I don't know that there's an absolute answer to that. I have a personal preference, and we'll discuss that in a bit, but let's talk about some of the things that you're going to look at when trying to make this decision. So one is, what state are you in? What market are you working in? If you are in a landlord state or a tenant state, could make a difference. What is the foreclosure process in your state? Is it judicial or non-judicial? Is there any kind of redemption period? Does the state have transfer tax, which could be more of an expense when you actually buy and then when you sell? Property taxes. Sometimes property taxes are significant in the particular state, can actually make it difficult to cash flow as a rental. HOA, whether you want to be cashed out or not. And that's a big one. We'll talk about more in a minute. What's your particular tax situation, and what is it that you're trying to accomplish? What's your comfort level? And we'll talk more about that.
Question on that, under number 2, what exactly is the redemption period?
Redemption period means is that in some states, you can actually go through the foreclosure process, and actually the lender could take the property back, or a third party could end up buying the property. But in some states, the previous owner, the one who has been foreclosed on, is given more time to come back and still redeem their property. So it could be 6 months to a year where that person still has the right to come back and take that property back. So it can really throw some curveballs into, like, if your goal was to rehab the property and sell it, you don't want to do that in a redemption state. That could become an issue.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, so let's talk about some of these a little more in detail. So if you live in a tenant state, the laws protect the tenant. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do rentals in these states, but it's harder. It will be harder to evict if they stop paying. And more of the laws are geared toward the tenants rather than the landlord. And in some cases, depending on the market, an eviction can take as long as an actual foreclosure. So you want to understand what the rules are in whatever the market is that you're working in. Know the foreclosure process in your market. We're in Utah, and it is a minimum of 4-month process from the time that a notice of default comes out to the actual time that someone can foreclose and take the property to the courthouse steps. Doing an eviction here is more like a 30-40 day total time frame process. Non-judicial foreclosures, where there's no, you're not in front of a judge, is typically quicker and you can get the property back. Judicial could take a little bit longer. And then, just like we talked about, Cody, redemption periods can add that time frame on and make things a little more tricky if you're dealing in that kind of market. Transfer tax. So what transfer tax is it's a fee that at closing is a percentage of the purchase price. So if you were buying on owner finance, there's going to be a transfer tax. And then if you then turn around and resell, there's going to be transfer tax again. That doesn't mean that you will be paying it twice. It doesn't even mean that you'll be paying it once, but you've got to take that into account. And it's funny, I am dealing with a property that we're buying, what we're not actually buying, we're wholesaling in Tennessee, and they do have a hefty transfer tax. And this is not a cheap property. It's, you know, $7 million plus dollars. And in this particular state, in every state I've ever dealt with, the seller is typically responsible for the transfer tax. That's what's customary. In Tennessee, it is the buyer is customary to deal with the transfer tax. Actually, it is the buyer that handles almost all the costs of closing costs, which was an absolute shocker to me. So you want to know what that's going to be. It may or may not change your mind, but it could add, if you were paying, you know, a portion or both sides of that transfer tax, it might be an issue that you don't want to deal with.
And I imagine all this stuff can just be found on Google, right? For your local
Could, or it could be making a phone call to, you know, a local title company or a realtor in a lot of cases. But yes, a lot of it can be found online.
Okay.
High property taxes. So there will be states, I live in a state where property taxes are pretty low. Nicole, you're in Florida, property taxes are higher. We're doing work in Texas, property taxes are significantly higher. So taxes can be not necessarily a bad thing, because rents tend to be higher where property taxes are higher. But at the same time, those taxes can really kind of create some havoc with cash flow. So we want to know what kind of tax rate we're going to be dealing with. And there are some states where upon the sale, the property gets retaxed based on that sale. So I remember dealing with a lead in California where the property taxes were like $6,500. But if we paid anywhere near what they were asking, they would jump up to about $50,000. Big difference, wow. Right? So you got to know how property taxes are going to work.
Yeah, I thought 6,000 was high. I couldn't imagine.
Right? 50,000 is, and this was, if I remember right, it was like a 10-unit apartment, and they were trying to sell for 4 million or 4.2, something like that. And it only brought in like $20,000. And so if your taxes are 4,000+ right there, that is going to be very difficult to cash flow.
Yeah, no kidding.
So more considerations. Okay. So if you're dealing with an HOA, HOAs may not even allow rentals, or they may allow only a certain percentage of rentals within their subdivision or their particular, you know, if it's a condo or whatever their area. And some may be grandfathered in, some may not. So you have rules that you've got to deal with. And Cody, I know that you remember we dealt with a lead in Florida, had an HOA, and the HOA didn't even allow me to go on title unless I was going to live in the property. And then they made an exception based on that they wanted this property kind of fixed up. But so if you're dealing with HOAs, you better know what the rules are, because they may not even allow a rental.
And that also know how to incentivize them like that. Like if it is a rundown property, I'm sure it's in their best interest to have it fixed up and everyone in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they thought it was an eyesore. They didn't like it. And so, but we had to jump through some hoops to make it work. And I did not check into this until, I had to. And you don't want that surprise, because not all of them will be open to working with you. Another one would be is like if you were dealing with a mobile home park in a mobile or a mobile home in a mobile home park, that parks have different rules. They may not allow rentals. These are things that you'd want to find out ahead of time. If you have a balloon payment or a particular deadline where this property needs to get cashed out, whether it's a lease option or owner finance, you've got to take into account a couple of different things. On owner financing, it's going to be a refinance. That's typically much easier than doing a total purchase. With a lease option, they still got to qualify, and they may not have the amount of money for a down payment. They may not actually have the financing. It's going to be more difficult for a tenant buyer to get financing than it would be someone that you've already pre-screened credit-wise and income-wise and put them in a property. So if you have like a shorter time frame, you'd probably want to keep that in mind as well. And then what's your personal situation in terms of income? Because if you do it as a lease option, you'll maintain some tax benefits. You'll get some depreciation that might help your particular financial situation for that particular year or for the next few years. Your comfort level, which to me usually is two things. One is, how much money do you get from this person, whether it's owner finance or lease option? And the second one would be that, what are the chances that this person is going to be able to get, cash this out at some point in the future? And that's something that you'll have to make a decision on based on pulling their credit and looking at their income and verifying employment and those kinds of things. But me personally, and you can go and you can actually approach this in a number of different ways, right? So yes, lease option is I'm renting it. So do I have that much risk? No, not really. It's just like any other tenant. Except that this tenant's going to be responsible for maintenance and repairs, which is much nicer for me. And certainly we hope that they've put up more option deposit than a normal security deposit. Then we could move up a step into owner finance, and we could do like contract for deed or a land contract where they're not on title, which is kind of like the middle ground. And then the third one would be is, hey, we're actually putting them on title, and that would be the best for them, maybe not the best for us as a seller. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's definitely helpful to have that clarification.
All right. So which one wins out? I've done them both, and I've had success with both of them, but I, I, I personally like owner finance better than lease options, and I'll tell you a couple reasons why. Owner finance creates true passive income, and a lease option can look like that, but it's much easier for a tenant buyer to walk away than an actual owner, and you will see that. People that you make owners tend to have more of a commitment toward the property. Maybe not at first, but the longer a lease option goes, the less they feel that option deposit, right? So 3 years down the road, that's forgotten. The first year or two, it's like, hey, I put down $7,000 or whatever, and you know, I feel like I'm invested in this. I can borrow private money on these properties, and so I could buy some cheap properties for cash, borrow money, and create passive income that way, where I literally have no money involved. Lease options you can too, to some degree, but the owner is always going to ask for something, and for me, the only thing that I'm going to be able to pay the owner is an option deposit that really looks more like a security deposit. So, you know, if they're asking $2,500 a month in rent, I'd probably be willing to pay $2,500. I just saw someone, and I can't even remember where it came from. It was one of our students, and they presented something where they wanted $60,000 to $80,000 as an option deposit on a $380,000 home. And that was, I did not need to think about that very long. So I can structure my sale to my buyer when I can sell the entire note, or payments like partials of that note if I need money. That goes back to our interview with Nick Legamaro that we did a few episodes ago. Eric Sage as well. And so it creates flexibility. If I have a lease option in place, I can't borrow against that. I have no collateral. I just have some control. That's really it. If I'm selling on owner finance, I'm spreading my tax consequence out over some time rather than having to pay it all at once. If you get a large option deposit on a lease option, and you ended up in court, it could be scrutinized by a judge. And the judge may deem it to be an installment sale anyway, based on the amount of money. And now you have to foreclose. So the things that you thought you were getting with a lease option, you're really not. And you may not know that until it's too late.
It feels like this wins on both the seller side and the buyer side, from my perspective as well.
You mean as far as going owner finance over a lease option?
Versus lease option, yeah.
Yeah, then there's certainly reasons why you'd want to sell on a lease option. And I'll give you a couple after we wrap this last one up. But you probably have more of a reason to end up in court over the battle of a lease option than you would with owner finance. Owner finance, if done correctly, is pretty cut and dry. And it's either going to be a forfeiture, depending on land contract or contract for deed, or it's going to be a foreclosure. And there's not a whole lot more, there's not a lot of gray area. With lease option, if the buyer brings in their option agreement, that's going to muddy the water right there. They may not win, but they could create a case. And if they gave you a significant option deposit, like something approaching 10%, they could claim that they were under the impression all along that it was a sale, not a rental. So some of the reasons why you want to be careful. So there are some benefits. When I first got started in real estate, what my whole strategy was is that I bought on subject to. So I would just buy and take over existing debt with little to no money, and which seems like craziness now in the kind of market that we've been dealing with. But I did it over and over and over again on nice houses and more expensive houses where I gave them nothing. And they just, I even got a couple of them to pay me. And I would just take over theirs, and then I would turn around and I would lease option it out to someone else. And if you have a long term, so that there's nothing that's going to get in your way anytime soon. You have a 10-year term, a 15, a 20 plus year term, and you want the benefit of rentals. You got to know this, that when I was doing lease options, I figured that the percentage that actually would buy, would follow through with the sale, was probably about 25%, pretty low. I wasn't helping these people buy because I didn't really care if they did. And I had people in properties for 10 plus years when they had a 3-year lease option. And I probably should have raised all the rents, and, you know, but now if they wanted to buy, we'd have to renegotiate the price. But I really didn't care because it was cash flow. I never had to think about this property. And but if you have a time frame, you want to be careful with the lease option. You also want to be careful with owner finance, because you could run into some Dodd-Frank rules. And so you want to balance this out. But I would tell you that when I'm buying, I'd much rather 100% of the time, I'd rather buy on owner finance than lease option and then sublet the property to a tenant buyer. The subletting, basically lease optioning from the owner, gives me some control, but I can only do one thing, which is rent to someone else, right? And there is a time that, hey, that strategy actually works. But I'd much rather be in that control position, which is, hey, I'd like to be on title as the owner. And then I have lots of options, right? I could sell on contract for deed. I could sell on a wrap. I could sell it outright. I can rent it. I can do a number of different things with that property. I have a lot more flexibility. Like we talked about, you can borrow. You can borrow on the property as, you know, using the property as collateral if you buy on owner finance, or you can sell payments of that note for cash, you know, partials or divide the note, that kind of thing. So you have flexibility. On a lease option, you don't have that. You can't do anything with it. We just talked about that third one, and you're going to have a hard time if, let's say, the owner wanted a $5,000 option deposit from you, which would be probably higher than most cases that I'd want to pay. But you're going to have a more difficult time borrowing that money because it would be a promissory note. It's not going to be able to be attached to anything. So again, no collateral. So those are the reasons why I like owner finance. Do either of you, you know, Cody, you're probably still dealing with what are you going to be doing, owner finance or lease options? But do you have any thoughts either way on how you would want to structure things?
Yeah, I primarily prefer owner financing. I've done more of that. I haven't set up a lease option. And a big reason why for me is that it is still early on in the business. And a big part of it for me is bringing in more consistent income.
Yeah.
So having those bigger down payments is very helpful for me to pay for software, pay for personnel, and continue to grow. Yep. Whereas those option deposits, they don't go quite as far, like you mentioned. So down the road, I may do more of it, but owner finance has definitely been more helpful for me.
You know, one of the things that I found out too, and this was working in our particular market, when I say our, Cody's and mine, Utah, that when I would do lease options, that there was kind of a ceiling on how much I was going to get in most cases. Mm-hmm. And it typically ranged from 3 to 5% of the purchase price, which, and to be honest, it was really more toward the 3-4%. 5 was like the top. And so when I was doing it and dealing with, you know, $250,000, $300,000, $350,000 homes, you know, I'd be thrilled when I could get $10,000. And with owner finance, I'm looking at getting 30, 35, and or more. And but Nicole, you are in Florida. Florida has some different, you have higher taxes. You're in a judicial state. You have transfer tax. It may actually make more sense to do more lease options in Florida than owner finance. Have you had any thoughts about how that would work where you are?
No, because lease options are new to me, so I didn't even think of that. And I didn't realize either that Florida has a transfer tax, so that's also new news to me. But but I guess when I start doing owner finance here, I'll have to take that into consideration. But I like having like the flexibility, like you said, like with lease option. I guess if I was planning on adding it to a portfolio, then maybe it would be the best scenario. But again, I mean, I would rather have like a multifamily. I just don't know how a lease, like lease options wouldn't work if someone's renting like a unit, right? Like,
sure would.
Or, yep. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could do a lease option on an apartment building. It's called the master lease, not a lease option, but it's almost identical. And, you know, you basically are just like any lease option. You're basically saying, I'm going to guarantee you a certain amount of rent and you're going to allow me to kind of run this. And which is, hey, you're allowing me to sublet to someone else. So you're allowing me the right to go find another renter that's going to most likely pay me more than what I'm paying you. And you're going to tell the seller, I'm going to be responsible for this, this, and this. And then you're going to tell your tenant buyer, hey, by the way, you're going to be responsible for all these things. And then the second part of the agreement is, hey, some point in the future, you're going to give me this long to determine if I want to buy this property at a specified price. On a master lease, it may be a little more detailed in terms of how that will all work, but it basically is the same thing.
Yeah, I think actually now that you bring up master lease, I didn't realize it was like the same thing as a lease option.
Similar.
We've talked about that, like an investor out here was offering me a master lease, which I didn't understand, but now I do. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like buying, but she was more pitching like the idea of having a master lease and then doing Airbnb, which wasn't anything that I was interested in, but that makes sense.
And really, the only reason that I bring it up, and I can't tell you definitively if it is worth only doing lease options where you are as opposed to owner finance. I can tell you that one of my very first mentors, Ron LeGrand, who's in Florida, he does lease options a lot. And it's pretty much more subject to for him, subject to and lease options. And I don't know if he really buys on a lease option, but there are some benefits of doing so. And when I say buy, it's not, you are not buying, you are renting with the option to buy. But you're controlling, and you can create, you know, true passive income that way. And you're not really responsible for stuff, right? You're not the owner. You have an agreement that you're going to do certain things, but you're not the owner. And so there are some, this is why the debate is so good, because there are times where you'd probably want to owner finance, and there may be times where you want a lease option. And I've done them both. And for the markets that we typically work in, I like owner finance. And I already know that there's some drawbacks. I don't get any depreciation. If my tenant doesn't buy, I don't get a appreciation. But with owner finance, I get truly, truly passive income. And I don't have a whole lot to worry about other than, do they make me a payment every month?
I guess maybe that's why notes are really popular here in Florida. A lot of people do notes.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to wrap this episode up. We're going to do one more just because I want to kind of show an example of how they would each work. And then we'll complete this series. Hopefully this has been helpful to people. Any last questions, or we'll wrap this up?
No. Thank you for going through this. Helpful as always.
No problem. All right. We'll go out and create some terms.